Let me share with you why I think people who live in the country are so resourceful and so connected to reality, and that's why they're going to do so well in all of this that's happening right now, you know, the collapse of the energy infrastructure, food infrastructure, and so on. You know, I've lived in the country now for quite some time. Before I moved to Texas, I lived in Ecuador in a rural environment there and grew a big food forest. Well, I should say with the help of a lot of locals that we paid for their labor and their knowledge and so on. They taught me a lot. And then I moved to Texas, and living in rural Texas for now, you know, over a decade, I don't know, it's been almost 15 years, I guess. I've learned so much that I'd like to share some of the highlights with you here about being able to look at the resources in the world around you and see them as resources instead of as something to be annoyed by. So a city person would visit a place out in the country, like the kind of place where I am, and they would look around and they would say, oh my God, look at all these horrible mesquite trees with their horrid thorns, and they're just growing like weeds, and they're horrible. And again, that's the way somebody looks at mesquite trees who isn't familiar with what they offer. But then, as I lived in the country with mesquite trees and some other things I'll mention here, I learned, whoa, I mean, these mesquite trees, they produce mesquite pods, and the pods are a food source. And the Native American Indians used to gather the pods and grind them into mesquite pod flour, and they would add those to corn and things like that, and maybe some wheat, and they would make basically tortillas out of it. And so that's a food source, and the native animals use that as a food source as well. But also, if you have mesquite trees that you want to get rid of, with the right equipment, such as a shredder, for example, you can turn them into mulch. And mesquite tree mulch is very long-lasting mulch because the mesquite wood is a hardwood and it doesn't degrade very quickly. So if you're using mulch to try to cover plant areas and block weeds, it's a great mulch. And it's also a kind of mulch that is anti-mold because of the special molecules that are in mesquite wood. And then you can also use that wood for smoking and preserving meat or even veggies. I mean, people go out and buy mesquite wood for barbecue. I mean, you've heard the term like mesquite barbecue. Well, that's from mesquite trees. What if you have all that growing for free? So you have something that can smoke meats. You have something that can be used as mulch. You have something that's a food source. And then I also learned that mesquite trees provide shade for other types of trees that grow up, usually inside the mesquite trees, kind of under the shade of them. So a mesquite tree will grow, and then underneath that protection, there'll be something like a cedar elm tree will grow, or a gum tree of some kind will grow. And those trees wouldn't survive on their own without the protection of the mesquite, which can handle droughts to an amazing degree. So I learned, wow, these are not weeds. These are incredible tools of survival. And then you can also, if they grow up big enough, you can cut the tree limbs, like the posts, and you can make fence posts out of it. And they don't have to be treated with any chemicals because the mesquite wood lasts a long time all by itself. So all over Texas, they use mesquite trees to make fence posts. Essentially, if you have a lot of mesquite trees, you're growing a kind of lumber. You could make lean-to structures or, you know, feed shelters or all kinds of things out of the mesquite wood. So multiple uses, and that's just one example, mesquite. Let me give you another example. So I've got a pond, and on the edges of the pond, as the water is going down because of all, well, the dry weather and animals are drinking the water, there's a lot of evaporation and so on, birds like to come along and they like to eat fish at the edges of the ponds. And sometimes they eat insects and things. So the perimeter or edge of every pond is its own special ecosystem. A lot of plants will grow there because there's water available. And so a lot of insects and microbiology will exist there and so on. So birds fly in, and then the birds will poop all over the edge of the pond. Now, a city person would come in and say, oh my God, bird poop, it's so nasty. But someone who lives in the country who understands this would say, whoa, nitrogen for the garden. And they would go in there, which is what I do. You scoop up the mud on the edge of the pond, and it's mud that's pre-treated with nitrogen from the bird poop. Yeah. And it's also got a lot of nutrients in it from the fish. So there's kind of fish poop embedded in the dirt on the edge of the pond. And then there's bird poop. And so you take that. And there's also green material because there's kind of like a pond grass that grows in, at least in Texas. And there's a lot of pond grass in the ponds. You take that and you make a garden bed out of it. And it is an ultra rich garden bed ready to go. That's going to release nitrogen for the plants for a long time to come. So it's a resource. It's not a mess. It's like bird poop. No, it's a resource. Another thing in Texas is cedar trees. There's a lot of cedar trees all over the place. And there's also a lot of pine trees. And what we've learned now recently since COVID is that the pine trees, and in central Texas, they're called loblolly pines, L-O-B-L-O-L-L-Y, loblolly pines, that they're loaded with shikimic acid, which is the molecule that's used to make Tamiflu, which is the antiviral or antiretroviral drug that's made by Roche and is used to treat pandemics. And we've already done some of these tests in our lab where we gathered some just pine needles off the ground and did a little water extraction, ran them through our mass spec instrument, and frankly, it contaminated. I mean, there was so much shikimic acid, it contaminated the mass spec interface for a long time. It took us a while to clean it all out because it was way stronger than we thought it was going to be. It was loaded with shikimic acid. So there's all this natural medicine just growing in the trees all around you. And the pine trees are just, they're medicine factories for beating pandemics. And they just grow like weeds all over central Texas. And then there's cedar trees. And people are like, cedar trees, they're weeds. No. You can harvest the cedar oil out of the cedar trees, and the cedar oil is a natural insecticide. You can use cedar oil. I mean, heck, we sell cedar oil from Texas, by the way, and people use it to treat like ants in their homes, and they'll spray it around the corners of bathrooms and you know, bedrooms and around the edges of their homes to keep insects out, to dissuade any kind of infestation. There's a lot of other uses of cedar oil. So even the trees that people think are weeds, they're not weeds. They're a source of a natural product, herbal medicine even. The point is that everywhere you go in nature, if you are open to having a new perspective, and not the city perspective, but sort of a, you know, living among nature kind of perspective, you might say that a Native American Indian perspective, let's say, and actually this is shared by indigenous people all over the world, you're going to see an abundance of resources and materials and medicine and wealth all around you. It's natural wealth. Even people complain about the hogs in Texas all the time. What are we going to do about all these hogs? Well, hey, what if there's a food shortage? You could harvest a few hogs. They're never going to be depleted. You're not going to cause depopulation, trust me, because they have so many new hogs all the time. You could harvest a couple of hogs and feed yourself and not starve to death. Even snakes. You know, over the years, I've probably captured and relocated literally hundreds of these rat snakes, as they're called. And I capture them with a snake grabber stick and I move them because I don't want to kill them. But if we were starving to death, these snakes, they just come right to you. If you have chickens like we do, they just show up and they're trying to eat chicken eggs or baby chicks. They just show up, you grab them, you could eat them, you know, you would cut off their heads and you would clean them, and they have a lot of meat. Some of these are really quite large. And again, it's a food source coming right to you if you needed it. You don't even have to go get it. They just show up. At certain times of the year, they show up like crazy, like the months of May and April, May, and June, typically. I know some people say, well, I could never eat snake. Yeah, you could. If you're hungry enough, you could absolutely eat snake. You wouldn't even care whether it's snake. Because, you know, at some point, your choice is going to be, would you like to eat some snake or would you rather have this human meat? Because cannibalism is in full effect now. Like, how's the snake meat look now? Snake is good. I'll have a McSnake sandwich, please, and some snake nuggets. Right? Everything's a resource if you have the proper perspective. And that's what I've learned about living in rural Texas, and that's why I'm so thankful. So thankful for the state of Texas and for America and for God's gifts to all of us. And I give blessings every day to what God has gifted us or gifted me and Well, each and every one of us in different ways. I mean, just the sun shining is a gift from God. The rain is a gift from God. The soil is a gift from God. All of it. The grass, the seeds, the insects, every bit of it. Look around, folks. Look around. Everything is a gift. Even the cactus. Oh, it's got spines. Well, you can scale those off of there. You can chop those up like green beans, pan fry them. You can have a Nepal cactus veggie dinner if you want. Yeah. The Native Americans did that. The Mexicans do it today. You can do that. My point is, it's all a resource. It's all about changing your perspective. Instead of seeing poop, see fertilizer. Instead of seeing weeds, see resources and food and mulch. Instead of seeing predators, see like a snake, a snake McMuffin sandwich. It's just about how you choose to look at the world. And if you look at the world through the eyes of abundance, and get out of the cities, obviously, you're going to find abundance everywhere around you. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. And you can, of course, catch more of my podcasts and interviews at brighteon.com. Take care.